Yesterday, just 60 minutes after we concluded the show, it was the governor of Illinois' opportunity, Governor Rauner, to give his State of the State address. Quaid and I were huddled in his office downstairs, and we put the over-under at 20 minutes based on his performance a year ago. He went a little bit over, but he had a much more methodical pace about him, I thought, yesterday than he did in 2015.
Yeah. I mean, I had the transcript pulled up, and at times was speaking along with him. You were playing bingo.
Yes, I did. I have my bingo card here that was put out by the Illinois Policy Institute, and I know that we originally had State Representative Randy Fries set to join us, but a last-minute requirement as he is caucusing in the state of Illinois for candidate Kasich, he is now in a caucus event undergoing some of those responsibilities and some of those opportunities. He had to pull out at the last minute. When you're in politics this time of year, things like that happen. And we must have made a friend on the show earlier this week, because Ted Dabrowski, Vice President of the Illinois Policy Institute, has agreed to come back on the show. It's a short turnaround. Ted, I feel like our first date was so successful, you were more than willing to take the second date right away. Is that pretty close to the truth?
I think that's true. Maybe I'm too easy.
Well, we can certainly figure that out. We sort of like that kind of activity here on this show. First of all,
thanks for having me back.
You're more than welcome. First of all, thank you for making our day yesterday. Quaid and I both printed off our State of the State bingo cards, and I came so close to blackout, but I didn't quite get there, as he never mentioned Madigan by name, although he certainly referenced, yes, the powerful Speaker of the House in more ways than one throughout the address yesterday. Just a couple of quick notes from me. I thought it was interesting that Governor Rauner not only tried to isolate Democrats who aren't on board with his turnaround agenda in the speech, but he also continuously beat the drum comparing Illinois and the Democrats in the land of Lincoln's inability to do things with the, quote, deep blue liberals of Massachusetts and how they've been able to get things done in their state there. That was one of the interesting things that stood out to me. What was your kind of surface takeaway from it before we get into the bigger deals?
No, I think my surface takeaway, and maybe not surface, but if there's one thing we've learned about the governor, is he's going to be consistent. He's sticking with his plan. He hasn't capitulated. He's talked about, look, I'm not going to sign a bad budget. I'm not going to sign even a balanced budget if it doesn't reform the way we do things. We've had 15 and 20 years or whatever, however long you want to measure it, as kind of, going downhill, and it's ending up with a string of job losses, manufacturing losses, downgrades, whatever you want to put in there, things aren't good. And so I think he said, look, I'm not backing down. I'm going to go after my key business reforms so that we get jobs back and growth back in Illinois.
Ted Dabrowski, our guest this morning on the morning meeting. He never mentioned, was turnaround on your bingo card, Sean?
It was.
I don't remember saying
the
word.
He never said the word, but the entire 30-minute speech was
were all the
points of his turnaround Illinois agenda.
He mentioned one of the notes that I put down was term limits, that he wanted the Congress in Illinois to take on term limits soon. Is that something that Springfield is ready to tackle?
Well, if you look at Illinois' problems, right, it's fiscal, but if you look at the root of it, it's governance. Michael Madigan and Cullerton have been, I think, combined, they've been in the legislature for 82 years.
Mm-hmm.
Madigan's been running this place for 30 years. So I think you can't make structural reforms, and I think people in Illinois, they all get it. They all know that we've got a problem with governance, and term limits is one of those things that can begin to change that and redistricting. We've got to change the control that politicians have over taxpayers' lives, and I think that's what Rauner's bringing in. He's saying we're going to transform those things because we can't fix Illinois if we keep running things the same way and having the same corruption that everybody knows we have.
Ted, I think you can fix both of those by fixing redistricting. We've essentially let representatives draw the map of the constituents that they want, and that's why you don't see much turnover. If you drew a bipartisan map that was just based on what we consider traditional districts, box out this square as opposed to all of these, hyper geometric districts that are gerrymandered. Well, the actual drawing isn't, but the policy of gerrymandering has given us those. I think you wouldn't have to put term limits in place necessarily because it would be so much more competitive. You wouldn't have a group of homogeneously minded voters voting for the same person if you did away with gerrymandering of the districts.
Well, you know, I don't want to say I disagree with you. I think it's just
reflective of exactly
what's wrong in Illinois, why Rauner wants to give power back to the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at things like redistricting, if you look at term limits, if you look at reducing the power of the unions and collective bargaining at the local level, right? In all those cases, taxpayers are totally out of the picture. They're cut out. And who has the power are the special interest unions and the policymakers, the lawmakers. So that's why it's so important to fight for what he's fighting for, because those are transformational.
Ted Dabrowski, Vice President of Policy for the Illinois Policy Institute, our guest this morning on the morning meeting, talking about yesterday's State of the State address by the governor. Ted, during that address, the protest that had been going on in the rotunda of the State House continued. You could hear some of it kind of in the background along the way. Those protesters are there demanding a budget. That's all well and good. But I'm worried that there are those in the legislature and those who are pushing for a budget around the state, much like the protesters, that don't understand you have to resolve the underlying issues if you're going to have any positive change, any positive forward progress. Just printing off a budget for a budget's sake doesn't get us anywhere.
No, I think, you know, if you look at over the last, since 2001 is the last time we really had a constitutionally balanced budget. They've mm-hmm. all been phony budgets, if you will. And what we've followed is this modus operandi of spend a ton of money, you know, create deficits, then go borrow, then raise taxes, then, you know, have deficit spending again, steal from the pensions. It's just continuously been done that way. And so what's really refreshing is for the first time in a long time, we have somebody standing up to that process and says, I'm not going to sign a phony budget. These phony budgets are what got us to having the worst credit rating in the nation. It's what's, you know, led us to lose 100,000 manufacturing jobs in the last few years. It's what's led 100,000 people on net leave Illinois just last year. We've got to end the craziness, because if we don't, we're going to just continue in that spiral. So he's right to stop. We don't need just any budget. We need the right budget with the right reform policies.
Ted, a lot of people think that the governor and the legislature can't get along, but in a speech yesterday, Governor Rauner mentioned that he and John Cullerton have agreed to support the Cullerton's pension proposal. And the governor said that it would save $1 billion a year from four of the state pension plans. Do you have details about that plan, or is that still kind of vague?
Well, we know where the plan was a few years ago, and that was Cullerton's plan. It's a modest at best plan. It's small. We don't know how it's being changed between the two discussing the details. I think what it really is just a step for Rauner to begin some kind of negotiation, sitting down at the table with Cullerton, and I think that's a positive. Is it going to fix the state? No, there has to be much, much more done. But you know, if that's what Rauner has to do to get the ball rolling, then I think it's a good first step.
The governor was also very hard on AFSCME yesterday in his speech. I don't think that surprised anyone. In order to get that budget aligned for the state, you're going to have to address the issues with the largest public sector union in the state. This wasn't exactly throwing a lifeline or throwing bouquets at the other side, trying to get them to come back to the table. You mentioned consistency earlier, Ted. The governor has certainly been consistent in his message with AFSCME. What's this going to spur on, though? They immediately afterwards put out a vitriolic response that we all expected and so forth and so on. But getting this resolved, I think, is one of the keystones, because it addresses pensions and some other things on down the line in order to get that constitutional budget.
Well, it's critical, right? Because if you get the AFSCME contract correct from the terms of negotiation for the governor, it impacts a lot of other things. If you end up spending, as they've said, $3 billion more in compensation for AFSCME members, that is going to destroy the state even more. I think, you know, we ran the numbers. We sent in a FOIA and got numbers on the average salary growth of the last 10 years for AFSCME members, and they were up five times faster than what the average person in Illinois is getting. It's, the average Illinoisan is struggling to make ends meet. Their earnings are flat, maybe keeping up with inflation at best. And the AFSCME salaries just keep going up. They're up 50% in the last decade. there's a big disconnect between the benefits that they get and the middle class, the other middle class that's in the private sector that's struggling.
Ted Dabrowski, our guest this morning on The Morning Meeting, Vice President of the Illinois Policy Institute. You've got that, like,
well,
newborn pug look, Quaid. You're all wrinkled up.
I was taking notes yesterday, and one of the things that the governor brought up was his, I say, desire. He believes that there should be more public-private partnerships. And I'll say that for local people in our listening area, they get a little uneasy about that because of things that have gone on here in that area in the past. Is it just that he's looking to other states who are doing this and seeing success, or is it, where's this coming from?
Yeah, you know, there's obviously a lot of competition between states to attract new companies coming in that promise to create jobs. And like you, you know, we should always be skeptical about government supporting and incentivizing big companies coming in because, you know, it just opens up the doors to a lot of games. So I think it's always right to be skeptical about government being engaged in those things. Now, Rauner's seen a lot of success of other groups doing it. Doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, governor, anywhere in the country, you always want to have a little bit of that ability to sell your state and attract investment. But it is one of those things that we do have to understand fully and make sure that it's done with all transparency. This is public money. If it's being used, it has to be transparent and it has to be successful.
Ted Dabrowski, our guest this morning on The Morning Meeting. One of the areas of government spending that Governor Rauner has been relatively generous with has been education, K through 12, in the state of Illinois. Yesterday, he rolled out a phrase that instantly perked up my ears, and that was cradle to career, Ted. Is this just an Illinois version of Julia, the mythical female that President Obama rolled out when he talked about cradle-to-grave government? Is the governor really espousing sort of an adolescent version of that where government needs to be responsible for you and oversee you from cradle to career?
Well, you know my answer to that. No, we don't want it to be like Julia because that's certainly a different message. And that's, you know, the example of Julia was all the things that the government gives her to help her succeed in life kind of thing, a lot of government dependency. I think what Governor Rauner and what I'm really happy about that he's finally began to talk about choices. If you look at kids in K through 12, they are, you know, if you don't have the means to go to a private school or if your kid isn't smart enough to get into a magnet school, you're forced to go to that public school based on your zip code. Whether you like it or not, whether it meets your needs, your child's needs, your ethical needs. And I think he started to mention that, look, it doesn't matter where you are. Not just, you know, in college we have choices of where we attend, but K through 12 we don't. And so I think what he's saying is, look, we want to give more people who are trapped in failing schools, whether they're in kindergarten or in 12th grade, they should have the choice to go somewhere else. And we're going to see him roll out his plan to give more choices to families. I believe he means it because – or he means that it should be whether you're in kindergarten or 12th grade and not just in college, for example.
Any indication what the immediate response is going to look like from the Illinois teachers unions?
Well, we know automatically they're opposed to choice. They're opposed to charters. They're opposed to vouchers, education savings accounts. But I tell you, when you look at some of the results, and we've run those numbers, that the gap between whites and the low-income community is tremendous. Many of the schools are failing. They're serially failing for years and years and years. And so it's really hard to think that people would oppose school choice, that people would oppose empowering a parent to choose whatever's best for their child, whether it's public, private, charter, whatever. And the unions will oppose the heck out of it, but I think the community will soon be ready for that. It's time to give people who are, you know, especially the low-income folk. I mean, the wealthy people have choices. They move around wherever they want. They spend on private schools. They move to the good districts. The lower-income people should have that same power and that same choice, and I think it only comes through things like vouchers and education savings accounts.
Ted Dabrowski, our guest this morning on The Morning Meeting. All right, I found a place in the governor's speech yesterday where he talks about replacing and streamlining some governmental agencies. Specifically, he brought up the Department of Innovation and Technology. Conservatives will hear developing a new department and think, well, you're expanding government. But if it's the purpose of that department to streamline and replace a current one, can we ultimately see a contraction, or is just just more on top of what we already have.
Well, I think that's the CEO in Rauner coming out. He knows that, look, there's a lot of legislative stuff that's going to be very difficult to change, but we're going to keep fighting for those. At the same time, we can do things a lot better. And anybody who's dealt with government and tried to get information from them, it's impossible. They have so many systems that don't talk to each other. They can't find information. You look at Chicago Public Schools. When they closed down 50 schools recently, they can't find the computers and all the equipment that was there. Nobody can reconcile it. That's the kind of problems we have at the state level as well. And so I think we got to move to a 21st century system where the data is at our fingertips. Think about how much more efficient we can be if we have that data, and it will mean that we can right-size government with new technology.
Ted, we've saved the big one for last, and unfortunately it's because I feel like this could be the most disappointing area, especially in a current legislative environment that we have. This governor campaigned on the idea of turning around Illinois, turning around its job opportunities, its manufacturing base, its employment opportunities. He obviously spent a great deal of time on that yesterday. Are we any closer to realizing that, though, without a budget, with several issues that are still intense, Illinois pensions, the tax regulation system, the onerous list of demands that businesses look at should they adventurously decide to start here in Illinois? This is ultimately where I think the most change can come, but it's the area that I'm most pessimistic about as well. Am I just too much of a glass half empty guy?
No, I think we're going to have a tough time reaching a conclusion. We do have to remember that Michael Madigan has supermajorities in both chambers, mm-hmm. They have Democrats have supermajorities in both chambers. They can pass whatever they want right now, and they have not come out with their own turnaround plan or their own way of fixing Illinois. They haven't passed the bills that they think are necessary to stop a lot of the problems, whether it's funding social services or funding education. They could do that, and I think they should catch much more pressure for that. They know that Rauner may veto things, but in theory, they should be able to override his veto. So, if they don't think they can override a veto, they're not going to do anything, and therefore we're going to have the stalemate for a while. I think what's going to change things is if in the elections of 2016, Rauner gets more political support from more legislators that back his agenda and weaken Madigan, and we start to see a change in tone and behavior.
Ted Dabrowski, Vice President of the Illinois Policy Institute. Quaid, we looked at him late, said, get a bat, get in here and pinch hit, and it was a home run.
Ted, he did well.
Thank you so much
for
the time. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, but not too soon this time. We'll allow for a cooling off period.
No, hey, anytime
least,
I can help.
At least as long as you have to wait to buy a handgun in the state of Illinois.
All right.
Morning meeting. Ted Dabrowski, our guest. We'll have more coming up on the morning meeting.